When you first listen to those readings, and I'm referring especially to the first reading and the gospel reading, they seem to be just very simple stories about healing. But if you look at them a little more deeply, there's a great amount of content in those stories. To get the impact of the first story, the story about Naaman, one needs to go back into the book of Kings, the second book of Kings, and get the whole of the story. Naaman was an army commander. Commander of the army of the king of the Aramean king. The text of the scripture says he was highly esteemed and respected by his king. But he was a leper. Now Naaman had a slave girl. The sense of it is that she was a child. She was from Israel, which tells us that probably Naaman had been involved in some kind of military campaign against the king of Israel. And in the course of that campaign, he took himself a little girl as a slave. Now the story goes on that this little girl said to Naaman's wife, "You know, if my master would go to Israel, there's a prophet there, and the prophet would cure him of his leprosy." That's kind of hard to imagine that the commander of an army would listen to the voice of a little girl, and especially a slave girl. But he must have been desperate. And so he gathers together gifts to give in return for the healing. And he makes the trip. He gets to the king of Israel and says, "You know, I'm here to be healed." And the king gets angry and says, "Look, he's just picking a fight. He knows I'm not God. I can't heal him." But the prophet hears the story. And he says to the king, "Send him to me. Let him know that there is a prophet in Israel." Well, he gets to the house of the prophet, and he expects great things from the prophet, that he's going to come out and wave hands over him and touch him and heal him. But he says, go jump in the Jordan 7 times. And the king gets angry. He said, "I could have done that at home." But his servants argue with him and say, "Look, he's asked you to do something simple. Do it." And he does it, and he's healed. The gospel story is also a healing story. This time we have 10 lepers. And we need to remember something about leprosy in that time and culture. First of all, it was a dreaded disease. And if you had leprosy, you had to stay apart from the people. You could not come into contact with anybody except your fellow lepers. You were shunned, you were isolated. And not only was it thought to be a physical disease, there was really a very deep conviction that it was also a deeper spiritual disease. That somehow those people that were cursed with leprosy were morally evil. That they had done something horribly bad and they were being punished for their crime. Another important detail of that story is, notice there was one in that group who was a Samaritan. And Samaritans were particularly hated by the Jews. They were hated because their religion was partially true, but partially it had gone astray. And they were despised and hated. And yet, it was this group of 10 that stands at a distance from Jesus and ask him to have pity on them. It was the one, the Samaritan, the hated one, that comes back to Jesus to give thanks. Same thing happens in that first reading in the sense that Naaman would have been very hated in Israel because he was the enemy. But he comes to give thanks. What can we learn from this story? What does it teach us? Well, it teaches us many things. But one of the things we come to realize is that that disease of leprosy, while we don't have it physically, in that deeper, profound, more profound sense which the Jews took it, we've all been touched by it. We all have the leprosy of sin. Sin has touched the lives of each and every one of us. It touched us all through the sin of Adam and Eve, that sin we call original sin. We somehow come into this world in a state of being alienated and estranged from God, and we need salvation. And then we affirm all that by our personal sins. Like Naaman, like those lepers, we are desperate. Because we cannot overcome the distance, the alienation that has existed between us and God. We need a Savior. The good news is that God has reached out to us through Jesus, His Son. Through Christ Jesus, God has given us the hope of eternal life. This Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, chose to die on a cross. He chose to submit himself to the consequences of sin, the punishment of sin that came from Adam and Eve. But then dying, he rose to new life. And there is our great hope. If we can become one with him, then his risen life can live in us. That happens to us first through the waters of baptism. Through baptism, we have been reborn into Christ Jesus. Yes, we have the inheritance from Adam and Eve. But now we have become one with Christ Jesus, and we have the inheritance of eternal life. But we must remain united to him. The more we can become aware of how desperate we have been, or how desperate we were before we were reborn into Christ Jesus, the more likely that same gratitude which touched Naaman would touch the Samaritan can also touch us. Grateful to God that he has reached out to us and given us salvation through Jesus, his Son. In truth, that's why we're here this morning. We gather here every week to give thanks to God. To give thanks to God for what he has done for us through Jesus, his Son. We gather to remember. We remember his dying and rising. But for us, it's more than remembering something that happened 2,000 years ago. It is the strong tradition of our church that when we gather here to remember, Christ is present in our midst. In some sense, continuing to do what he did on the cross, offering himself to the Father for our sins, offering himself so that we might unite ourselves to him, we might offer our lives to the Father in union with him, that we might give thanksgiving to God by offering that sacrifice of ourselves, of our own lives, our joys, our sorrows, our yearnings, our disappointments, our failures, our successes, offering all of that to the Father in union with Christ Jesus in gratitude for all that God has done for us through Jesus, His Son. That story of Naaman ends in a rather strange way. Notice there at the end, Naaman, he brought all those gifts with him. He goes to the prophet and he says, you know, here's all these gifts. I'm so grateful. And the prophet says, I don't want them. Keep them. And then Naaman says, well, if you won't take my gifts, would you let me have 2 mule loads of earth, of dirt? He says, because I will no longer worship any god but the God of Israel. What was that all about? Well, there was a belief in that time that the god of a country was attached in a way to the soil. And so if Naaman was going to go home and worship the God of Israel, he needed some of the soil. And so he was going to take some of that soil back home with him. And there, he could set up his altar and he could offer sacrifice to the God of Israel. That sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's what we do here. We offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving to our God for all that He has done for us through Jesus, His Son.